Don't just say to yourself, I'm just a donkey, man. Nobody wants to sit on me, and they got me tied up, even if they did. God has an appointed time. And when this appointed time arrived, God sent two people to the donkey. And it's interesting what he told him to say. He said, if anybody says anything, he says, go and loose this donkey. He sent his messengers to loose the donkey. Cut him loose. Let him come forth. Let him fulfill what I have ordained from him from before the foundation of the world. Loose that donkey and let him go. But if anyone says anything about it, what were they supposed to tell them? The Lord has need of him. Now, all you theologians know, and you know who you are, know that does God need anything? No. I mean, not theologically. He is complete in himself. He is self-sustaining. He is the self-existent, eternal I am. From everlasting to everlasting, he gives life and breath to all things and needs nothing. However, as in a figure of speech, the Lord has need of him. The Lord has a purpose which he is about to fulfill, which he has ordained this donkey to fulfill. And so because the appointed time has come, he sends his messengers to tell him the Lord has need of him. Let me tell you something, and don't ever doubt this. You are not a random event in this world. There is purpose over your life. There is a destiny over your life. God says it in his word. He has ordained works for you to fulfill for his glory and for your blessing. And when your appointed time has come, the Lord says to you, the Lord would say, the Lord has need of you. It's not that he needs you or he just can't be God. He has a purpose. He has a need for you. He has a calling for you. He has opened the doors and he wants you to do something that you were crafted to do. And if you spent that preparation time well, you will excel in what he's crafted you to do. Yeah, you're just a donkey, but God made you that donkey. You are a when you look underneath of you on the belly, it's stamped God. Doesn't mean you're God. It means you were made by God. You are his handiwork, his craftsmanship. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, where it says you are his handiwork, the word there means you're his poetry. You are his story that he has written to fulfill. He has a story with you in it. And he has fashioned you to play that role. Are you feeling a little more confident? John. Hallelujah. That's right. Fashioned by the hand of God. When I was in my mom, you knew me. You knew all my parts. You fashioned me. You fashioned me. You called me. Praise God. Whew. Praise God. And he gave the promise. He said, you tell them this. Tell them the Lord has need of them. And they will immediately cut him loose. They will immediately send him. When it's your appointed time, and God says, okay, now's the time, and God cuts that rope loose, God is going to send you. This donkey was sent. He was sent. Probably couldn't fit him in one of them flat rate boxes. This one was going to cost extra postage. But he was sent. Do you know that when your appointed time comes, God is going to commission you? He is going to send you. He's not just going to say, oh, there he goes. Hope he does well. Hey. He is going to send you. It's good to be sent. If you know you're sent, you can go with boldness. This isn't me. God sent me. God burned this in my heart. God prepared me for this. God equipped me for this. God anointed me for this. I am the man God has prepared for this hour, for this event, for this situation. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they're what? Sent. It's good to be sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Yeah. This brother, this brother got some beautiful feet. Look at them feet. And it's some beautiful feet. What's the word of God say? Beautiful. Look at them toes. Look at them tendons, boy. Look at that heel. This is an ankle. This is a serious ankle on that bad boy. God fashioned this ankle. God gave me those toes. God gave me this foot. How beautiful are the feet? Let me tell you something. A lot of folks are embarrassed about their feet. They're just thinking, oh man, you know, I got ugly feet. I actually heard Ron Rafter and his wife Debbie debating about who had the ugliest feet. I mean, you know, face it. I mean, what? Your feet, give me a break, you know, your foot. But God says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. You are beautiful in His eyes. And yes, as a father, He chastens us as necessary. Absolutely. But let me tell you, Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Absolutely, we don't have license to sin. Absolutely not. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And we shouldn't be unaware of that. But at the same time, we now have a father-son relationship. And our daddy sees us as beautiful. This is no longer judge and accused. This is now father son. And I don't know how you may look at your past and what you think about who you've been or what you've done. Let me tell you this, if you're in Christ Jesus, God sees you as beautiful. He sees you as so beautiful. You have no idea. Jesus said, if you've seen the Father, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. You know what the Father does? You know what the Father looks like? He looks like Jesus, doesn't he? So when Jesus girds himself with a towel and fills a basin with water, and he comes to us, Liam, can I use you this time? Have a seat. You don't even have to go anywhere. And he comes to us with this basin and this towel, and he kneels down. And he says, let me wash your feet. Let me take off the dirt and the dust. Let me wash the blood from the stones and the sticks. Let me cleanse this. Let me serve you. You know what? Thank you, dear. That's the Father. You might think these things are kind of ugly. He thinks they're beautiful. And he bends to wash them and cleanse them and make them ready for him. Your daddy loves you so much. You have no idea. The half has not been told. We can't even comprehend without the grace of God the depth and the width and the breadth and the height of his love for us. That's a picture of the Father's love for us. Yeah, I've got things about me that I wish were different. Oh, I wish he'd have done this with me instead of that. Oh, I wish he'd given me this instead of that. And God says, oh no, I don't. I love you so much. I love you so much. I love who you are. I love who I made you to be. And it's my privilege to humble myself and wash your feet, to bring you into the the place where we can sit at table together and eat and fellowship and love one another. He has made us for intimacy with Him. That's why He stooped to wash the feet, to prepare them for an intimate place with Him. How much more intimate does it get than sitting down and eating together, breaking bread together, consuming together what's prepared in front of us so that we can sit and share our hearts together and share our thoughts together. As it was said earlier today, God's thoughts towards us are more than the sand of the sea. And He wants us to know those thoughts because it also says in the Word that He's given us the mind of Christ. We were designed for loving, intimate fellowship with our Father. And He loves us. He loves us donkeys. He loves us feet. Now, you might feel like you're not good enough. You might still ask, why does God want to use a donkey? I mean, there were lots of horses out there. I mean, He could have chosen a horse. Y'all know what a coronation is? Coronation moment? What's a coronation? Somebody just tell. Somebody tell me what a coronation is. Tell everybody what a coronation is. Yes. Amen. The crowning of a king or a sovereign. This has been called Jesus' coronation moment because He rides into Jerusalem and the crowd is screaming, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're welcoming him as the new king. This is his coronation moment. Now, generally when the rulers of this world have coronation moments, there's a lot of pomp and a lot of glitz and a lot of circumstance. Yeah. 1838, Queen Elizabeth was coronated. Her crown consisted of a multitude of rubies and sapphires that surrounded a diamond that was 309 carats. But wait, there's more. Her scepter had an even larger diamond sitting on top of it. It was cut from this other thing called the Star of Africa. And the diamond on top of her scepter was 516 and a half carats. 516 and a half carats. Yeah.